Well, as you've probably gathered from everything, today is Palm Sunday. And it's the day when we celebrate Jesus coming to Jerusalem. And as he rode into Jerusalem, the crowds waved palm branches, a symbol of Jewish nationalism. They shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And they cheered and they praised and they exalted him. You ever thought what a great time it would have been to be there? And how enjoyable it would have been to be part of that crowd? As a young child, I can remember how exciting it was when a princess called Princess Alexandra came to Toowoomba and we all lined up on the edge of the road to cheer and to wave. And I was a pretty short kid and I can remember jostling for a place so I could actually see something. And we kids really got into it, shouting at the tops of our voices, and we all had these little flags and we were waving them. It was exciting. But cheering Jesus, that would have been even better. Palm branches waving, coats laid on the ground in front of him, kids and grown-ups all shouting together for Jesus. And some shouted, "Hosanna," which means "Save us, O Lord." Some shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And some of the others were shouting, "The Lord is God." And they were all waving their palm branches. They'd seen Jesus. They'd seen his mighty works. They witnessed him restoring sight to the blind. They saw him healing the lame. They saw him feed the multitude with a little boy's lunch. And they saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They listened to him teach with authority. Surely, surely Jesus was the one who'd set them free from the Roman conquerors. So when he came to Jerusalem, the crowds began to cheer. But Jesus knew the hearts of the people. The Jews wanted a king. They wanted a conqueror, somebody to physically set them free. They had the wrong idea about Jesus. They thought he was going to set them free from their earthly conquerors, and they cheered for what they thought he was. You know, today we know who he is. And are we cheering for him today as we think about this? In half an hour the other day, I thought about lots of things that I know Jesus is. And of course, there's lots more. Some of the things I thought about are these. His love. He loves you as though you were his only child. He knows everything. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's wise. He knows what's needed in every situation. He's powerful. He can move mountains. He's merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. And he's gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. And there's lots more. We're going to look in the Bible at some of the different names and descriptions of Jesus. Jesus told the people himself, he's told his disciples, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Jesus' whole life while he was here on earth showed that he was God, one with the Father. But the disciples couldn't see it. And Jesus revealed himself as the one who's worthy of our praise and worship. He said to a Samaritan woman, "You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, For they're the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. And then much later, the Apostle Paul told the people at Athens, he said, Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. And he preached to them about Jesus. Here in church and outside in our everyday lives, we worship Jesus. We know who he is. For us, the cheering should never stop. So back to the story. Before too long, the cheering stopped. The Jews were under heavy Roman oppression. There were heavy taxes, restrictions, executions by means of crucifixion. And Jesus knew all about all those things. But he didn't gather any troops. He didn't lead a revolt. He didn't do what they expected. Instead, he drove money changers out of the temple. He paid taxes to Caesar. He taught that giving out of poverty is worth more than giving out of abundance. He taught that in order to be great, you must be a servant. And he predicted the downfall of Jerusalem. Jesus said and did things that the people didn't want. And so the cheering stopped. When things go our way, when God does what we want, when Jesus rises to our cause, it's really easy to cheer, isn't it? But what about when he doesn't do those things? What happens when you face oppression? What happens when you experience troubles? What happens when there's too much rain or too little rain? What happens when our personal lives go pear-shaped? Too often, our cheering comes to a stop. Words of adoration and praise quickly fade when you face life as it really is. Sometimes, God does give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. But often we have a problem. Our wants and our desires blur our ability to see our real needs. And the same thing happened to the crowds that lined the streets to cheer Jesus. There were some things that they didn't see, but Jesus did. In verses 41 and 42 of Luke chapter 19, it tells us that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Why did the cheering stop? Why did Jesus weep for the people of Jerusalem? These people didn't recognize Jesus' purpose. And so Jesus wept over them because he knew what was going to happen. Look at the end of verse 44. He says, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. There's some irony there, isn't there? Here's a group of people who really want salvation, relief from oppression. And they fail to see that their opportunity for true relief, they fail to see that God himself was walking amongst them. These people were looking for the kingdom of God. And Jesus had already told them that the kingdom was already in their presence. That's in Luke 17, 20 and 21. They were aware of his claims to be the Son of God. They'd seen his miracle-working power. But there is a reason that they couldn't see his purpose. They could not see Jesus' purpose because they had their eyes on their own immediate circumstances instead of their current condition. We're the same way today. When you experience trials or certain hardships and difficulties, and you fix your eyes on your circumstances, when your focus is on everything around you that's wrong, and that's really easy, isn't it, these days? When you listen to the news, it's enough to turn you into, make you feel totally sad. But when our focus is on all of that stuff, then something happens. And your prayer turns into words like these: Lord, deliver me, help me, fight me for me, uplift me. And perhaps the prayer instead ought to be, Lord, mould me, use me, grow me through all of these awful things that are happening. Change me. Get glory through me for yourself. But too often, we want God to change our circumstances instead of asking God to change us in the middle of our circumstances. And when we focus on our circumstances, definitely our cheering stops. We lose sight of him and his purpose. We stop worshipping him in spirit and in truth. We go through the motions of service and we only think about what can God do for me instead of praising God for who he is. And these people desired deliverance from political oppression, but Jesus came to deliver them from the bigger problem of sin. In their desire to escape their immediate circumstances and to have their brand of peace, they missed the fact that they were walking in the very presence of the Prince of Peace. Don't let that be what causes your cheering for him to stop. Don't lose sight of the fact that through any circumstance, you're always in the presence of the Prince of Peace. In John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, it's impossible to get peace from the world when all around us is trouble and hardship, when there are voices and pressures pulling us in all different directions. But Jesus wants to give us peace, even in the middle of trouble. The people around Jesus not only refused to recognize his purpose, they also refused to accept his terms. Jesus' terms were very clearly spelled out. In Matthew 16:24, you can see that they involved a cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And the terms involved careful consideration. He told us to count the cost. And the terms involved submission. You know, in old times when two kings prepared for battle, the weaker would send an ambassador to request the terms of peace from the stronger army. And then it was up to the weaker king to submit to those terms if he desired peace. The people in Jerusalem desired peace, but they wanted it to come through a change in their circumstances. Jesus was offering them peace in the middle of the conflict. And Jesus said of Jerusalem in Luke 13:34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you wouldn't have it. And the city of Jerusalem, whose name means city of peace, refused Jesus' terms. Why? It was because they wanted to set their own terms of peace. How often do we as Christians do the same thing? We want peace, we want blessings, but at the same time, we want to do things our way in order to get them. We're saying, God, I want peace and blessings, and I'm going to do this, that, something else, because that's how I want to handle it. And Lord, your job is just to bless me in all my actions. We mightn't pray quite so openly as that, but sometimes deep down, that's exactly what we're saying, isn't it? And there are many people who even want to set the terms for going to heaven themselves. I've heard this many times. Oh, I think I'll get to heaven someday, but I'll get there on my own terms. I'm a good person. I don't think God will turn me away. I've heard that. Jesus was clear. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So there's only one way to come to God. There's only one way to get to heaven. And that's not just my narrow opinion. That's what Jesus himself said. So the question is, are you refusing his terms? There's a way that seems right to a person, but the end of it is destruction. Why? Because he's told us the way, and people still refuse to accept his terms. Jesus is the only way. He's the provision for salvation. It's already been made. The blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary is the only way that our sins can be forgiven and we can be made right with God. The Jews did not recognize his purpose. They refused to accept his terms, and they didn't realize that this would bring judgment. In verses 42 to 44, Jesus said, "If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes." And he went on to describe what would happen to the city of Jerusalem. Jesus describes the future judgment of Jerusalem. They'd been warned. They knew the terms. They'd heard Jesus tell them who he was. But they refused to accept those things, and judgment came. In 70 AD, a Roman general named Titus set siege against Jerusalem because they finally did revolt. They did it their way. They acted according to their own purpose. They acted upon their own terms, and judgment and disaster followed. And according to the historian Josephus, over 1 million Jews were killed in that revolt, and the temple was destroyed. Things happened just as Jesus said they would. They knew his claim. They knew his terms. They refused to accept them. But there came a point when they had no more opportunity to accept them. They wanted things their way. And so the cheering stopped completely with one silencing blow. And that was judgment. How does that apply to us? You can't approach God on your own terms. You have to come through Jesus. You can't even come to him in your own time. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to him unless the Father himself draws them to him. When you come to him, you must accept his claims. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the sacrifice for sin. He's the Lord and Saviour. And if you refuse these things, one day there will be ultimate judgment. And all that is left for you, if you don't choose to accept and follow Jesus, is destruction. In a place that we don't like to mention these days, but it's called hell, a place of eternal judgment. There is a too late when we're dealing with God. So let's be the people who never stop cheering for Jesus. For those he's prepared a place. For those he's promised strength and comfort for our life on this earth. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And even, you know, maybe you're all Christians here. I don't know. But maybe even as a Christian, your desires have been self-centered instead of God-centered. You're saved, but perhaps you've never accepted his terms of service. And you've been doing things on your own and in your own strength. Then shouldn't you accept what he wants you to do and follow him regardless of the cost? I don't know what God's telling you to do. You do. You know what it might cost. But as Christians, we need to follow him regardless of the cost. But maybe some of you who are here have never accepted Christ as your Saviour. You haven't ever taken that first step towards finding God's purpose for your life. If you want to accept God's purposes for your life, you need to do it soon. Even today, even right now, is a good time to accept Jesus and to follow him and to make him the one for whom we cheer all of our lives, regardless of what happens. You know, as Jesus turned away from that fickle, cheering crowd, he wept for the people who were going to be lost. And he continued on his journey towards the cross. Now we're coming to that time when we remember this through communion. So I'd like you to take out your things that you brought for communion, your bread and your cup. Before we take these things, these emblems of Jesus' body broken for us together, spend a moment. We're going to have just a quiet moment where I want you to think about you and Jesus. I want you to ask yourself, is my life spent cheering for him? Am I worshipping him every day as I serve him every day? He went all the way to the cross for you. Have you given up anything for him? Have you given up your right to do what you like without any reference to him? Have you given up your right to love something or someone more than you love him? Just spend a few moments now thinking about his sacrifice and ask yourself, what do I give Jesus every day? He died for you. Are you dying daily to yourself so that you can live for him? Think about it for a moment and then together we'll eat. This bread or this biscuit symbolises Jesus' body, which was broken for us. So let's thank him and then we'll eat together. Jesus, we thank you that you came as a humble king on a donkey. You came to bring peace and life for the people who follow you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the price that you paid. We ask you to give us the love for you and the courage to follow you and to do for you whatever you ask us to do. As we eat this bread, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made, and we commit ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's eat together. Our cups of juice or water, whatever we have, symbolise his blood that was poured out on the cross for us. And as we all drink together, just take a moment quietly and privately to give thanks to him. Let's drink, remembering Jesus.